This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. We're here at Sunshine PHP 2015. It's been an awesome conference so far, and I'm here with my good friend, Mr. Paul Jones, who has just knocked one out of the park with his opening keynote on this second day. Say hi to everybody, Paul.
Hello, everybody.
Now, Paul, I'm going to set you up, and I'm just going to let you talk, because seriously, I am in awe at what you did. I told somebody after your session that when I grow up, one of my life goals is to be as smart as Laura Thompson and as good a speaker as you. You know,
I share that goal of the Laura Thompson goal with you. She's phenomenal.
She really is. But you talked about patterns and teams.
Mm-hmm.
And did so in a very amusing way. The first half of it had everybody in stitches. The second half of it, everyone was silent. The Twitter stream went dead until you were finished because everybody was in awe. So talk to us a little bit. Give us a recap. You don't have to go through the whole thing, but give us a recap.
So the talk is called Same Thing Happens Every Time.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we as developers, it's a talk about patterns, but not technical patterns. You know, when we think about patterns, we think about the Gang of Four and patterns of enterprise application architecture and stuff like that. But this is more about the things that we see both in our entertainment and in our daily lives. And the idea is that if we can recognize that these same things keep happening over and over again, then we can learn to deal with them effectively instead of being surprised by them when they happen. So really the first half of that entire talk is really just an excuse for me to talk about my favorite movies, things like Star Wars and Star Trek and The Hunger Games, things like that. But what's fun about these is that all of these movies are modern versions of very old myths, very old mythological stuff. There's a guy in 1949, Joseph Campbell, wrote a book called The Hero with a Thousand Faces, where he identifies these mythological patterns that keep showing up specifically in hero stories. There is always, you know, the hero always has some sort of auspicious birth, and then the hero is always given some sort of call to adventure. And of course, the hero doesn't want to change his life. So he refuses that call to the adventure, and then through circumstances beyond his or her control, the hero is then thrust into this new world of the adventure and meets the same characters and has the same kinds of experiences, and at the end of it comes back having grown and changed as a person. So the first half of that keynote is about the patterns that we see, not necessarily in mythology, but the modern movies that use those patterns. Things like, again, the auspicious birth, or the fact that it's the hero group is almost always two guys and a girl. I'm sorry, a strong independent woman and two dude bros.
There you go. That was the term.
It's always the same, and it doesn't. You go look at the movie Star Wars the same way, Harry Potter the same way, Star Trek the same way, and although that one is not directly in Campbell, it's a very easy introduction to the idea that these patterns exist, and once you look for them, you start seeing them everywhere. We proceed from that to, you know, there's always an old man as a mentor, whether it's General Iroh in Last Airbender or Obi-Wan Kenobi or Haymitch Abernathy. There's always some older, more experienced person there whose adventure is done, and now that person's role is to help the new hero in the new adventure, and so on and so forth. And we end up with, a very fun reveal, which I will not give away here. Once we learn these patterns, you start to see them everywhere in places you wouldn't have expected, and it makes our entertainment a lot more fun.
Yeah.
The follow-on to that is that because we now recognize that these patterns exist in non-technical ways, there are these social patterns that exist. We can see that that other similar patterns exist in our teams. So we have different kinds of characters that we meet over and over again in our professional lives. One just archetype that I will call the academic programmer or the future-oriented one. There's another archetype that is the so-called practical or the get-it-done programmer. And that these two are not necessarily in opposition to each other. They are in tension. But they both have very valid ways of looking at the world, and we need to recognize that, A, the pattern exists, and, B, they're both valid ways of looking at the world. And then there's the problem child, and then there's the meritocracy, and then there's the fact that there is an evil ruler against against whom we are fighting all the time, and it is time. Mm-hmm. And then all the patterns that go along with that, that we, once we discover that they exist, and we all recognize that our projects keep running late every time we add more people to the project, but we don't know why. Mm-hmm. We don't really think about it. And that's, you know, that we explore some of those topics.
Yeah.
And that's the whole talk right there.
That was phenomenal. Of course, I think the tweet I saw most was Hofstetler's Law.
Hofstetter's Law. Yes, Hofstetter's Law. That's Douglas Hofstetter of Gadel Escherbach. Hofstetter's Law states that it always takes longer than you think it will, even when you take Hofstetter's Law into account. It's just wonderfully recursive.
Yes, it is. You know, and being that in open source, we love recursive names and laws and stuff like that. It fits so well.
Absolutely.
But it is absolutely dead on. You know, even if you plan for it's going to take longer than it takes, it's going to take longer than that.
Still
going to
take longer. Yeah.
And your one of the points you brought up was, you know, the project manager with, well, we'll be done in about 30 days.
Yeah.
I've been that guy. Mm-hmm. I would go to my CIO and he would say, well, how much longer before this is ready? It looks like about 30 days and we'll be done.
Yeah, but you said that 30 days ago.
No, I said that for 6 months.
Exactly, yeah.
and then we finally delivered something that kind of sort of resembled it.
Right.
But, you know, I had not, being a developer, I am eternally optimistic that I or my teammates, sure, we can do that. And while we're there, we can also build this, and let's build that one over there, too. You know, I'm eternally optimistic, and you're right. Time is the evil master.
Yep. And that's the basic flaw is not the right word. That's the basic character trait of all developers everywhere.
Yeah.
Insufficient pessimism.
Yes.
We all think, again, this is a story about heroes. We all think of ourselves as the hero. The hero always succeeds, right? So of course it's going to go just fine. But we always forget that these hero stories are filled from beginning to end with conflict. There are always obstacles in the way to be overcome. And we as the heroes in our own stories in a professional way need to remember that that's going on.
Yeah.
And so hopefully not to reduce our feeling good about ourselves, but to more realistically look at the challenges that face us and hopefully reduce some of that optimism, increase the pessimism, not because we want to feel bad, but because we want to be successful in a predictable way.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And now, we talk about this, but you've seen this over and over again because you've dealt with so much legacy applications, or so much legacy code. You've even written a book about managing legacy code. Talk to us a little bit about your book, and we will throw a link to the show in the show notes to the book.
Right on. So the problem is this. There's a ton of legacy code out there in the world, and everyone wants to improve the code base that they're working on. But it's such an overwhelming challenge to look at 300 page scripts of SQL, HTML, JavaScript, and CSS all mingled together with all the business logic all jumbled into these balls of mud. You just don't know where to begin. And it just feels awful looking at that. You feel demoralized looking at this code and having to deal with it. I've produced more than enough of that myself. But over the course of the past 10 years or so, I've had to deal with enough code bases like that and try to improve them that last year I sat down with all of my notes and all of my memories of these experiences and took the process that I had designed for myself for migrating these legacy applications in small baby steps towards more modern systems, put them into a book called Modernizing Legacy Applications for PHP. And whereas the hero's journey in Campbell takes 12 or 15 steps that are always the same, in this book there are 12 or 15 steps that you can take in order in small steps, where at the end of each step the code base is a little bit better than it used to be. It's not perfect yet. By the time we get to the end of the process, we've got something that's been radically improved. So whereas we start out with an include-oriented page-based system with globals everywhere, and you touch one variable in one place, and then because seven includes up, that variable is modified, everything else breaks. Yeah. Instead of that, we work our way slowly towards something that is auto-loaded, dependency-injected, unit-tested, layer-separated, and front-controlled.
Wow.
so that you've got this, you trade. Now, again, we're not going to say that the end of that your life is perfect.
Right.
But what will have happened is you will have traded the low-quality problems of a legacy code base for the high-quality problems of a modern code base. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, you're no longer demoralized going to work every day. You go in there, you can see everything's laid out nicely. You know exactly where things have to go. You know that there's tests for everything. So if you change stuff, it's not going to blow up on you unexpectedly and so on.
Yeah.
And so that's the point of the book. If you follow the process, and let's be clear, it's tedious, it's time consuming, but if you do just one thing at a time, things get better for you. And you do the next thing, things get even better, and so on.
And I take it none of the steps are throw it out and start over.
No, none of them are those. I address that very early in the book. It's very tempting. We as developers, we want to be our own customers. Of course, we look. No developer ever looked at a code base and said, this code base is fine. Everyone always says it has to be rewritten, but then that carries a whole bunch of other costs along with it.
Oh, yeah.
I go into those in the book as well.
We mentioned Laura at the beginning, but Laura works for Mozilla, and Mozilla is the poster child for don't throw out your old code
exactly
and start
right.
from scratch, because it took them forever to get a project or to get something released. You know,
yep.
from the old Netscape days.
Yep. Yeah, in fact, Netscape is the poster child for this kind of
yep.
thing. They decided they were going to do a complete rewrite mm-hmm. instead of just improving what they had incrementally. And, of course, we saw what happened there. Netscape is out of business, and now we have Mozilla. It took how long? 4 years? 5 years?
4 or 5 years,
A long, long time.
Long enough for IE to gain a foothold.
That's exactly right, which right there should tell you, think of your own project that way. You don't want your worst enemies coming in behind you while you're doing the rewrite. Do it incrementally. It's going to feel, the problem is, a rewrite is sexy. You know, we get to be, it feels great, we're going to do everything right the first time, but then you run into tons of problems.
Yeah.
Incremental refactoring just feels too much like work, but it does have the benefit of actually working.
Yeah.
And incidentally, everything keeps running while you're doing it, so nothing ever stops.
That's the beauty of it. Well, I want to thank you for your time. I want to wrap this up so you can get back to the sessions, because the schedule here at Sunshine is so awesome.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate you taking one of those and skipping a session just to be with us. Before I go, though, question ask everybody, what's your local user group? What's the URL?
So the local user group is the Nashville PHP user group.
Yeehaw.
And that is at nashvillephp.org.
Awesome. Well, Paul, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. Thank you for all that you do. You're one of the leaders, the thought leaders in the PHP community with your Aura framework, Solr before that. You even contributed to Zen framework before that. You're one of the thought leaders in the community. So thank you for helping make the PHP community even more awesome.
Thank you. And thank you for all that you do as well.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.